With 2 days left, Harry started to go off food again. The only good thing about breakfast on Monday was the return of the brown owl he had sent to Sirius. He pulled off the parchment, unrolled it, and saw the shortest letter Sirius had ever written to him. "Send date of next Hogsmeade weekend by return owl." Harry turned the parchment over and looked at the back, hoping to see something else, but it was blank. "Weekend after next," whispered Hermione, who had read the note over Harry's shoulder. "Here, take my quill and send this owl back straight away." Harry scribbled the dates down on the back of Sirius' letter, tied it back onto the brown owl's leg, and watched it take flight again. What had he expected? Advice on how to survive underwater? He had been so intent on telling Sirius all about Snape and Moody, he had completely forgotten to mention the egg's clue. "What's he want to know about the next Hogsmeade weekend for?" said Ron. "Dunno," said Harry, dully. The momentary happiness that had flared inside him at the sight of the owl had died. "Come on, care of magical creatures." Whether Hagrid was trying to make up for the blast-ended Scroots, or because there were now only 2 Scroots left, or because he was trying to prove he could do anything that Professor Grubbly Plank could, Harry didn't know, but he had been continuing her lessons on unicorns ever since he'd returned to work. It turned out that Hagrid knew quite as much about unicorns as he did about monsters, though it was clear that he found their lack of poisonous fangs disappointing. Today he had managed to capture 2 unicorn foals. Unlike full-grown unicorns, they were pure gold. Parvati and Lavender went into transports of delight at the sight of them, and even Pansy Parkinson had to work hard to conceal how much she liked them.
"Easier to spot than the adults," Hagrid told the class. "They turn silver when they're about 2 years old, and they grow horns at around 4. Don't go pure white till they're full-grown, round about 7. They're a bit more trusting when they're babies. Don't mind boys so much. Come on, move in a bit. You can pat 'em if you want. Give 'em a few of these sugar lumps." "You okay, Harry?" Hagrid muttered, moving aside slightly, while most of the others swarmed around the baby unicorns.
"Yeah," said Harry.
"Just nervous, eh?" said Hagrid.
"Bit," said Harry.
"Harry,"
said Hagrid, clapping a massive hand on his shoulder so that Harry's knees buckled under its weight.
"I'd have been worried before I saw you take on that horntail, but I know now you can do anything you set your mind to. I'm not worried at all. You're going to be fine. Got your clue worked out, haven't you?"
Harry nodded, but even as he did so, an insane urge to confess that he didn't have any idea how to survive at the bottom of the lake for an hour came over him. He looked up at Hagrid. Perhaps he had to go into the lake sometimes to deal with the creatures in it. He looked after everything else in the grounds after all.
"You're gonna win,"
Hagrid growled, patting Harry's shoulder again, so that Harry actually felt himself sink a couple of inches into the muddy ground.
"I know it. I can feel it. You're gonna win, Harry."
Harry just couldn't bring himself to wipe the happy, confident smile off Hagrid's face. Pretending he was interested in the young unicorns, he forced a smile in return and moved forwards to pat them with the others. By the evening before the second task, Harry felt as though he was trapped in a nightmare. He was fully aware that even if, by some miracle, he managed to find a suitable spell, he'd have a real job mastering it overnight. How could he have let this happen? Why hadn't he got to work on the egg's clue sooner? Why had he ever let his mind wander in class? What if a teacher had once mentioned how to breathe underwater? He, Ron, and Hermione sat in the library as the sun set outside, tearing feverishly through page after page of spells, hidden from each other by the massive piles of books on the desk in front of each of them. Harry's heart gave a huge leap every time he saw the word water on a page, but more often than not it was merely take 2 pints of water, 1/2 pound of shredded mandrake leaves, and a newt.
"I don't reckon it can be done," said Ron's voice flatly from the other side of the table.
"There's nothing, nothing. Closest was that thing to dry up puddles and ponds, that drought charm, but that was nowhere near powerful enough to drain the lake."
"There must be something,"
Hermione muttered, moving a candle closer to her.
Her eyes were so tired she was poring over the tiny print of old and forgotten bewitchments and charms, with her nose about an inch from the page. They'd never have set a task that was undoable.
They have, said Ron.
Harry, just go down to the lake tomorrow, right? Stick your head in, yell at the merpeople to give back whatever they've nicked, and see if they chuck it up. Best you can do, mate.
There's a way of doing it, Hermione said crossly. There just has to be.
She seemed to be taking the library's lack of useful information on the subject as a personal insult. It had never failed her before.
I know what I should have done, said Harry, resting, face down, on saucy tricks for tricky sorts. I should have learnt to be an animagus, like Sirius.
Yeah, you could have turned into a goldfish any time you wanted, said Ron.
Or a frog, yawned Harry.
He was exhausted.
It takes years to become an animagus, and then you have to register yourself and everything, said Hermione vaguely, now squinting down the index of weird wizarding dilemmas and their solutions.
Professor McGonagall told us, remember, you've got to register yourself with the Improper Use of Magic Office, what animal you become, and your markings, so you can't abuse it.
Hermione, I was joking, said Harry wearily. I know I haven't got a chance of turning into a frog by tomorrow morning.
Oh, this is no use, Hermione said, snapping weird wizarding dilemmas shut. Who on earth wants to make their nose hair grow into ringlets?
I wouldn't mind, said Fred Weasley's voice. Be a talking point, wouldn't it?